Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
SansPants Radio, Australia's least coherent podcast network.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up a Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Adam.
And today's topic is swampland.
Swampland.
What's the difference between a swamp and a wetlands? Let's talk.
Dirty.
Misty.
Those are adjectives, not differences.
That counts.
Which one?
Swampland is misty. Wetlands has birds.
Yeah, wetlands I associate way more with birds, possibly herons.
Swampland, sometimes a big bubble pops up from the swamp.
That's true.
That swamp, doesn't happen with wetlands.
Swampland noise is... Wetland noise is...
Wetlands yep. is good for the environment. We need more of it. Swamp...
Swamp could have been caused by man by bad things.
That's true, actually. That's a good point. Swampland is like, it's you can create a pollution swamp. Can't yeah. create a pollution wetlands.
No, wetlands
is clean water. Swamp yeah. is dirty water.
That's what I said first.
Oh,
swamp,
I'm sorry.
Dirty.
You just said dirty. Let's recall.
I think I made my point very clear.
See, I associate, you said earlier, misty, and I associate wetlands with mist. I think swamp is
have
fog.
Boat that has big fan. Wetlands you must leave undisturbed.
That's true. I feel like it's a really Australian thing that we've like gone, like wetlands are associated with conservation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I want more of Cass and I just yelling things at you, giving you like almost dot points to put on a whiteboard.
Like a child's project about the difference between swamp v wetlands.
Birds. Shrek.
Shrek in swamp. Not in wetlands.
No, he's not allowed to live there because it's a different green.
It's not his swamp.
Stay out of my wetlands. That's a Shrek impression. He sounds like that, right? I'm Shrek.
Professor McGonagall?
It sounds more
Donkey.
Like...
Donkey!
It sounds more like Shrek in high school.
Yeah, Shrek. Puberty Shrek. Whoa. Puberty Shrek.
Yeah, no
Puberty
one's Shrek. Done anything with that yet.
Yeah, that's...
Puberty Shrek was my favorite show growing up.
Whoa, it's Puberty Shrek. Shrek with hair in weird places. Did Shrek ever have hair?
I can only hope. No, his babies don't have hair.
Oh, that's true. All Shreks are bald. Fiona, though.
Ogre. All ogres are bald.
Yeah, but Shrek is an ogre. And if
yeah, I know you said Shrek as if Shreks were a thing.
They're specific to the Shrek universe of what an ogre is.
Yeah,
ogres are differently depicted across places.
That's true.
So Fiona does have hair, but Fiona. Oh my god, it was just a curse.
Yeah,
she changed species.
Fiona isn't really an ogre.
We don't know what she was born as.
She was born.
We
yes,
do.
We do.
No, we don't. They never established. Where's the birth certificate?
Fiona was always an ogre. The Adam Cannavale theory.
I love conspiracies.
Yeah, I love Shrek conspiracies.
It's not a conspiracy if I'm right.
Yeah. I was going to say, what did you say before? I had a point. What did you say previous? Shrek, hare, what was it?
You were calling them Shreks, but Shreks is not a
That's
race.
Right, ogres. How vague is ogre as a fantasy monster?
Be like, scary.
Yeah, like, I don't know what an ogre is.
Is it just meant to be the way children perceive horrible people? Because they're too big?
Yeah, kind of, I guess. Like, a too big, skinny, maybe not skinny.
There's no difference between skinny. An ogre and a troll.
Yeah,
right.
But
yes, well, there is.
What's the difference?
Posture.
Yeah, and for that's me, a troll is bigger.
That's just make... No, no. You're just making that up. No, posture.
I've always seen trolls depicted with, like, a hunchback. Mm,
that's
or,
true, actually.
And if they don't have a hunchback, they don't look human.
No, if I showed you a picture of an ogre and I showed you a picture of another ogre and I picked... And I told you one was a troll, one was an ogre. You would not, you would get confused because they're the same.
I don't what? Know. I think
you
I'm
would get confused
aside.
Like my metaphor is metaphor because they're confusingly similar.
I think that, yeah.
But, so you're saying if a troll stands up straight, it becomes an ogre?
No.
They just, have different.
Or the other way around.
No.
You can't change someone's bone structure.
Just saying that typically trolls are depicted as far more hunched.
That's just not. No. You're not allowed to just make that statement.
I reckon it's true. This
you
is where.
Reckon, oh my God.
I will say though, they're either weirdly hunched or small and have bat features.
Or
you're
made
just
of,
lying.
No, I'm not.
Or you're just saying whatever you want.
I'm not. These are the two types of trolls I've ever
encountered
in my life.
No, you are. You're the queen of it as well, and you're the king.
What? Tell me what other trolls you've seen that don't fit into those two perfect categories.
I'm telling you there's no definition. That is my...
But I'm just saying for every troll I've ever seen, there have been two types.
Yeah, the trolls that I've seen depicted.
For every troll, what?
Yeah, in like fiction, like Billy Groat's Gruff Trolls, every storybook I had as a kid, they were like hunched, almost rock monsters. Terry Pratchett's trolls, also rock monsters. The trolls that were depicted in the illustrated Hobbit that my parents had for some reason, rocky, hunched. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just always been illustrated as hunched.
Yeah.
Ogres, very vague.
Troll in the Dungeon from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Hunched. And
bulky.
Bulky. I have seen a depiction of Billy Goat's Gruff where it's a troll that lives under the bridge, and because the bridge is quite small, they've made that troll quite small, and it does have better posture, but it has bat features.
Yeah, there you go.
I have seen trolls like that before too, where
Insanity.
They're like, okay, we'll make it small, but it's going to look weird.
No rules.
It's going to, because it lives under a bridge, we're going to say that they prefer darker climates.
Yeah, sure.
Cherry picking and your bad memories.
These are just the memories I have, Adam. I don't know what else to tell you.
I don't
you.
Know what Liars. You want, Adam.
Liars.
Tell me about what the trolls you've seen look like.
Yeah.
I can't.
Adam's never seen a troll, I guess.
Cool.
There you go.
What was I going to say? Hey, have you read that great Neil Gaiman story about a guy that finds a troll under a bridge?
No, was his name Billy?
No. It's like a guy and as a kid he finds a troll and the trolls were going to eat him and he's with his like little sister or little brother and he's like, the troll's like, hey, I won't eat you if you, I'll eat your little brother instead. And he's like, okay. And then he comes there later with a girlfriend and he's at the same bridge and he's like, oh no. And then the troll eats his girlfriend. And then he goes away and he doesn't come back to the troll like for years and years and years. And he comes back as a sad 40-year-old man. And the troll's like thin and emaciated and is like, man, our lives suck. And they have like a heart to heart. It's great. It's a great little, I read it as a comic, but I think it started as a novel.
That's, why would he ever go back?
I don't know. I'm fairly sure the troll was a metaphor for something. I don't know.
But why would, look, metaphors are great, but.
I just remember getting to the end of it and being like, whoa. But I don't recall much else. Like, what's that other good Neil Gaiman? The Problem of Susan? About how Susan from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe just gets shat on because she's a woman. You know? She discovers, like, lipstick and makeup, and she's not allowed back in Narnia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. People are like, well, is it because she discovered lipstick and makeup, or is it like more of a God metaphor, like she lost her faith in God because she started to believe that Narnia wasn't real? But it's very much framed in, like, she's growing up and becoming a woman, and she's not allowed back in Narnia for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big God metaphor.
It's a big God metaphor. Who would want to go to Narnia anyway? That place sucks ass, frankly. I'm good. Beavers, Santa Claus, no thank you.
Yeah, you like go through a magic kingdom. It's like, okay, now you have a job. And it's like, that's child labor. Don't do that. That's really not fair. Can I go home? No! Don't help steal us. A lolly like a child would in this realm collected for children.
I feel like one of the five Sans Pants topics is shitting on Narnia, specifically that part. I'm sure every single show we have produced at some point
I've brought up the fact that, what's his name? Eustace? Eating that fucking Turkish delight.
I hate the Chronicles of Narnia.
Me too. I've frothed them as a kid. I read all of them like three times. And then on my third reading, it was like the childhood veil had lifted and I was seeing through them to kind of what they were really about. And I was like, oh, I actually don't like these books at all.
It's 60s, 50s, 40s fantasy, and yeah. I quite hate that.
Yeah, there's not really any rules to it, which is slightly frustrating. You know what I mean? Stuff just happens.
My problem with it is that it feels more like a historical book than it does anything else.
Oh, yeah. I can kind of say that. Yeah.
I did like, there was the one before The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, all about the tree.
The Magician's Apprentice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tree that they built the wardrobe out of. I remember liking that, but I don't remember a damn thing about it.
I think I remember Aslan sings Narnia into existence, which was kind of cool. I remember liking A Horse and His Boy until I realized A Horse and His Boy was about how Christianity is the one true faith.
Yeah. It's all about Christianity.
Yeah, but A Horse and His Boy is about like a clearly like Muslim XB who worships an XB, like as in it's meant to be the, like an analog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I worship this other god. And they're like, you fool, worshiping another god in the desert. And then he goes into the desert and meets Aslan, i.e. real god. And then he's like, oh, this was the right faith. But also his horse can talk. And I remember liking that as a kid.
That's cool. No, that's good.
And The Silver Chair, that was my other favorite Narnia book because it had Puddle Glum, who was a depressed frog man, and that's pretty cool. And it was about, no, that's Eustace, the main kid's terrible friend. You remember in Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the cunt kid?
I never watched that movie or read that book. I've not read a single one of those books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But didn't you just say that you hated them because they felt historic?
I watched the movie.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, the books, I didn't like them because the books felt too much like a fairy tale, you know? Stuff could just happen. Beavers can talk. Okay. There's a fawn. All right, sure. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. No, well, the four main kids have this friend they hate.
But the example you give is fantastical animals.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. They have these fantastical animals. They never set up that animals are fantastical animals will occur.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know how, like, I don't know, say, like, Lord of the Rings, they're like, there are elves. They come from here. They live here. In Narnia, there's just like one family of beavers. They're not like, these are the beavers. They're just like, here's some beavers. They live in a beaver dam. The end.
I mean, a lion sung it.
Yeah, that's annoying too. Yeah, look, I just wasn't a fan. But I read them all. And I liked in The Silver Chair that it was about Eustace and his own terrible friend. It was like the Reggie from Riverdale having his own adventure, and that was good.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I always want to know more about Reggie.
You always want to know more about the cunt kid. It's true.
I do know that it was very weird that Aslan sang the universe. I might be wrong here once again because I haven't read the books. I think I'd forget what I said. Wikipedia, maybe.
Sure.
Some weird, dark Wikipedia hole. But so Aslan sang the world into existence. Yeah, that was really weird. Because actually in Christianity, God can't carry a tune.
Hey, Adam, here's a fun new game. It's called Shutting Up.
Anyway, swamps and movies.
Yeah. So,
Shrek. Shrek's obviously number one.
Curse of the Swamp Creature.
Oh.
Movies is my topic. I'm choosing not to touch Shrek today, actually.
That's a bold, brave choice. I'll do history.
Curse of the Swamp Creature is a 1966
oh,
movie.
No.
Deep in the rurals of Texas, the mad Dr. Simon Trent is conducting experiments on the local swamp people. That is all unimportant. Look at the fucking poster.
Oh my God.
Okay. Imagine if you wanted to build a swamp creature
and
you had all the technology to
make a good movie, and then you chose not to.
No. You get out your best plasticine sets.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you do the best job anyone can to make a swamp creature. smooth out of plasticine. And then you run it through a 3D rendering program that tries to smooth out the edges a bit more. And then you're like, what if the Matrix happened to it? And you just blur it with some green lines. There you go. Oh, and he's wearing a hat.
Yeah, he's wearing like a fisherman's bucket hat. It's one of those costumes that you know that whoever had to wear the monster outfit was definitely blind. Like it was hell on set because they could never see it because they've got ping pong balls in front of their eyes.
Now, I'm sure, Jack, you also are aware of the 1988 movie Swamp Thing.
Absolutely.
Are you, however, as aware of the 1989 movie Return of Swamp Thing? Because, holy shit.
Swamp Thing's
just
back.
Just going back to movie posters for America's favorite superhero is back in action. It's only been a year, guys. Calm down.
Oh, wow.
How Hammer Monster movie does good. This poster look?
Is that based on DC's Swamp Thing? The superhero?
I guess it is Swamp Thing. Sorry, was I saying
No, you were saying Swamp Thing, but I just wasn't sure if it was like they're just like referring to a Swamp Thing or if they're referring to the character.
Hang on,
Swamp
Thing. Let me read you the summary and you tell me if this sounds like a Swamp Thing
story.
The Swamp Thing returns to battle the evil Dr. Arcane, who has a new science lab full of creatures transformed by genetic mutation and chooses Heather Locklear as his new object of affection.
Wait, actual Heather Locklear?
Who is Heather Locklear?
An actress.
Oh, yeah, Heather Locklear. All right, that's interesting.
An actress.
The summary chooses to use the name of the actress rather than the name of the character, even though when they're talking about the villain, Dr. Anton Arcane, choose to use...
You don't know if Dr. Anton Arcane, maybe he's an actor and wizard.
Louis Jordan.
Jordan?
Jordan. J-O-U-R-D-A-N. Oh. I assume it's French.
Oh. Yeah. Jordan.
And Dick Duroc is Swamp Thing.
Dick Duroc.
Dick Duroc.
Dick Duroc.
Wow.
D-U-R-O-C-K.
Dick Duroc. What a powerful.
Joey Sagan as Joe Sagan.
What were you going to say? No, wait.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It is Joey Sagan as Gunn as Joe Sagan. How else am I meant to read that?
He plays a character called Gunn.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Gunn as Joe Sagan.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's Seagal. Joey Seagal.
Oh, is it Seagal?
As Gunn as Joe Seagal. That is so baffling.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Also, Shut Up a Second is great. But if you've ever wondered what a show with people who love each other would sound like, then Bailey Family Circus is the podcast for you. Join Jackson, his dad, his mum and his brother as they answer your questions, agony aunt style. Go to sanspantsradio.com, search Bailey Family Circus, and finally find out why Jackson is like this. I just wanted to give an audio description for the poster Adam showed that you guys reacted to, but we didn't actually say.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that means that when he was... means that when he was acting, he went by Joe Seagal.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I thought he was playing a character who was playing him.
That's powerful. That's powerful layers right there. Yeah.
There's a lot of doctors in the cast, as in like characters playing doctors in the cast that implies, oh man, one of the characters is called Leechman. That's good. Implying that there'd be a scary amount of technical mumbo jumbo for a movie.
It's very funny. Like, I think your Swamp Monster movie needs one doctor. You do not need more than one. You need one doctor, one Swamp Man, one Swamp Monstrosity. You know what I mean?
I want a Swamp Monster movie set inside the hospital as a musical.
Yes.
They're all just like, we don't know what this man is. And then there'll be a doctor who's like, no, he's a person. And other people are like, We're not saying it's not a...
We're just confused as to what's really going tricky. On.
We don't know. He could be so sick.
Also, one more movie. Sorry, just one more movie I want to get off my chest. A movie from 1981, rated R. So yeah. It's a, you know, it's an 80s hard R,
yeah.
Called Southern Comfort, which is a great wow. name for a movie. During a routine exercise, a team of National Guards are threatened by angry and violent locals. I want to watch this movie.
That sounds amazing. Sad it wasn't angry and violent swamp monsters, though.
Oh, I thought that was where worry, it was going.
Presumably it is.
Those are the locals they refer to.
They are local to the swamp.
Also, that movie poster, imagine if a firefighter carrying a woman out of a burning building, instead of wearing fireman's clothes, was wearing a swamp. And the woman, instead of wearing like burnt clothes, is wearing almost an entire dress.
You doing facts for us, Cass?
Yeah, I'm doing facts.
Oh, yeah.
A swamp is a wetland that is forested.
That's oh my
the,
god!
That's the only fact that matters.
We figured it out. That's
What's the
crazy.
Biggest swamp?
Biggest oh. swamp.
It's biggest swamp.
Biggest swamp. Biggest swamp.
The Amazon River floodplain.
Oh.
It's particularly significant for its large number of fish and tree species.
Cool.
Very and cool.
Why do you think the swamp monster narrative is dead? Like, when was the last swamp monster movie? 1989? Why haven't we got a swamp monster movie in, like, 20
oh,
to 30
no, no, I reckon... There's been so many. They were right through the 90s as well, I was looking.
Wow.
Do you know what I reckon it is?
Yeah.
We learned how to dredge rivers.
Swamps no longer hold any power over us.
The dredge, the greatest combatant in our okay. war against swamp creatures.
Well, is it just that swamp monsters aren't scary anymore? Like, if you watched a movie that was, like, had, like, a basic swamp monster plot... there's an evil scientist creating swamp monsters and they attack people.
People want more realism out of their sci-fi now.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you don't get many monster movies anymore, really.
No, you don't.
Which is sad. I love a good creature feature.
What oh, they they're turn so into? Good.
Yeah.
I think tragically we're like, the real monster is man.
Yeah.
And now they're all like... cybercrime, big crime, a bigger crime, and then that person getting revenge for the crime.
It's funny to imagine hackers as the natural completion of the monster.
That's the
movie.
the new creature feature era. It's like a cyber thriller.
I've never felt more like someone like four generations up trying their best.
I also love the idea that, like, it's that we're lamenting a time when we're like, the real monster isn't man, it's swamp monsters. That's the obvious real monster.
Did it kind of become...
Mm?
So did what happen? I reckon, here's my theory. I reckon Cass is partially correct, mm-hmm. but I think it diffused.
Okay.
So rather than becoming one thing, I reckon it became a couple of things. Because I reckon something like Jaws comes along and people are like... Ah, but what if an animal that could exist or something like that?
Yeah.
And then that's it starts getting like anything that was like a giant fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex rampaging around a city kind of became like your monster, like your fucking what was that crocodile one? The Australian crocodile one.
Oh yeah, I know the one you mean.
What was that movie?
The Biggest Boy.
Yeah, The Biggest Boy. And there's a new one now, isn't there? With
That dredge or something. Is that the one where it's like there's a flood and there's that looks great. I'm excited for that.
Apparently, it is great.
Yeah, that's fun.
So you got those kinds of movies, and then. Then Cass is right. You get like your monster is man sort of movies.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe there's like disaster movies also.
Yeah, but it's crazy that we have just finished with the creature feature. Like when was the last time you saw a movie where, like, I guess it's because they're old hat, but like a mummy was the villain.
Do you know
the
what?
Mummy?
Yeah.
Do you know what I think it is as well is I think humans as a whole are becoming more empathetic to the struggles of others. If I watched a movie about a swamp man, I'd be like, oh my God, is he okay?
Well,
he's been in a swamp.
That's an interesting
No, but
theory.
She's right, because that's how you get movies like Shape of Water. At a certain point, we stopped fearing the swamp man and started wanting to fuck the shit out of him, you know?
Like, why is this swamp man so upset and attacking people? Like, obviously, stop attacking people. We will stop you from attacking people. That's not good.
Yeah.
But like, are you okay, swamp man?
We started
really,
to...
is that the... Because I always empathized with Michael Shannon.
Gotta get rid of that damn swamp monster.
I've actually not seen that movie. I just know that apparently I would empathize with him, according to you.
The best scene in that movie is when the mute lady and her friend is like, does it have a dick? And the mute lady mimes a penis coming out of a weird cloaca. I nearly cheered in the cinema. Hooray! I was curious as well.
So we've had movies, we've had facts.
Time for the history of swamps. Cass?
Swamps. Une histoire.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize English cast had left and French cast had arrived.
Oh, pardon. I don't know.
Okay. If
well,
here we go. I've got some swamp history.
Okay.
If you don't.
I don't know what history there is.
Cass looks so genuinely panicked.
Just swamps.
What about we talk about bog bodies? That's pretty cool.
What?
So
bog
like,
bodies of swamp history.
Yeah. So like in the peat bogs of Great Britain, they found, let's say, 50 corpses from varying points in prehistory have been mummified by the bog.
Let's say.
And we don't know why they've been. It's clearly a burial. Some of them have had their nipples chopped off and they've been thrown in the bog.
Post-mortem.
Yeah.
They didn't feel it.
Because nipples were pretty powerful back in ancient Celtic times.
It was considered a mark of. To feed someone from your nipple was like a kingly thing to do,
I guess. Is not even, this sounds like we're bullshitting
it does,
you.
But I'm not, but I'm true. Not wrong.
You would suckle the king's nipple to show your reverence and everyone was like, dude, lucky.
Lucky.
It's so foul because like, I'm not a fan of suckling nipples right now, you know, and imagining in like foul, dirty, like the king's sweaty in his lodge. Taste.
King's sweaty. He's covered in mum's spaghetti.
And I got to go up and... And the king's like, thank you. And I'm like, dude, it was my pleasure.
You'd be so chuffed to know what the king tasted like. And because like you'd go and taste him and your brain would have to be
tastes like sweat, just like every other person I've licked.
No, your brain would be like, this is going to be good because it's the king and the king was chosen by God. So you'd go and taste it. And even if it wasn't good, your brain would be like, so good.
Oh my God, got to get me some more of that king nip. Delicious.
Or if you're like, oh, it tastes bad. It would be like that thing where you're like, oh, this smoothie tastes bad, but I know it's good for me. Like, it tastes healthy. Your brain would be like, the king's nipple tastes healthy.
I reckon my brain wouldn't lie to me.
Your brain would be like, this sucks, dude.
Brain's all about not sugarcoating things. If anything, my brain would tell me that it was bad because it was the king.
Imagine a little bit of milk came out.
Only if it's malnourished. Malnourished.
Malnourished.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Mal Chinotish.
Wait, if you're malnourished, you start lactating?
Yeah. Fellas do. They tend to. Yeah.
Very well observed in World War II in concentration camps.
Yeah.
Is it because your body's like, oh, you're lacking nutrients here, drink this?
I don't know.
I think it's, I don't think we, or, look, I actually don't know, but I think I remember hearing that it was just your body getting confused.
How exciting, though, if like me and you were trapped, or the three of us were trapped on a desert island and I started lactating.
Exciting.
And I'd be like, guys, I know we're hungry. You got this, we got some nutrients.
I struggle to believe that you wouldn't drink your own milk and stop us from drinking.
Jackson, why are you sucking on your nipples? No reason. Horny, it's a sex thing. Jackson, you lactating? No.
Imagine, because you can't get your mouth over your nipple. Imagine trying to squeeze your nipple so the water squirted up and into your mouth.
I reckon I could suck my
Jackson,
own nipple.
Jackson, what are you doing?
Who's asking?
Couldn't.
Let me try.
All right. All right. For those of you watching at home, Jackson.
He's failing, but he's trying really hard. He grabs.
Unfortunately, you don't get a medal for trying really hard. You get dead.
He's grabbing a lot of his. Are there breasts on men?
Yeah.
Because it's not pecs, because pecs is the muscle.
They're titums,
it's true.
Yeah.
Titums. Jackson's grabbing his titums and trying to contort them into his mouth.
I just can't. I'm not flexible enough. But I could, like, is Adam going to try? Oh, no. I thought
just
he was.
Getting comfy.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'd try and squirt it into my mouth. Would you chase me around the island for my nipple milk?
No, you would malnourish. You'll find.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's true. I'm cooked already. Maybe you haven't been feeding me.
I was like, no, we just collected in a coconut. Just drink coconut milk.
Wait a second.
We ran out of coconut milk. We just have the coconut left.
Eat the coconut rough.
We've eaten that. We have just a shell.
Eat the fibers. God, we are not going to do well on this desert island, but I guess we all
does
kind of
does anyone thrive
that.
On a desert island?
No. I don't know how to make fire from nothing.
I I'm sure plenty of people could thrive. Have you ever seen that video of that guy who makes a hut out of just what's in the ground?
Oh, that's
him?
True.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I've seen a video of it, which
yeah,
means...
that guy could thrive.
If he had everything. I don't know.
He starts with nothing. Watch the video.
I've seen the video. Mm. It's a choice that he does that.
Yeah.
And then he goes home and he posts it to YouTube and he rakes in the likes and a little serotonin goes off in his brain.
I'm not seeing you dismantling how I could say how I'm saying he'd do well.
He wouldn't
somewhere.
Die. Oh, he'd be safe. But yeah, I don't think he'd thrive.
He's
not going to live his best life.
Yeah, I think it comes down to our definition of thrive. I always like to think, though, if I got stranded on a desert island, I would see it as kind of a new lease on life. You know what I mean? Like, I can just be me. That's cool.
I've always seen, like, getting stranded on a desert island. I'm like, cool, it'd be fun to make clothes.
Yeah.
I can only assume I'd get really fit.
Yeah, oh, yeah, desert island fit, dude. That rolls.
Desert island thin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it depends. If I'm chopping down palm trees, baby.
Yeah.
Manual labor like that doesn't necessarily translate to fitness.
Yeah, you seen tradies?
Yeah. That's all
they
do.
A lot of big bellies. I think if a tradie looks fit, it's because they work. Don't discount the hard work of tradies. They do more beside their job to get that fit.
Yeah, but I think if I'm not eating shit on the island, just fish and coconut milk and my own titty milk, and I'm chopping down palm trees, eventually I'll get in shape, and then I'll die.
You'll get thin.
Yeah, well, time will tell. Put me on a desert island and we'll see. Put me on a desert island, come back in a month, see what's happened.
Okay, Jackson and I get stranded on a desert island for whatever reason, has a wall down the middle.
Yeah. Like a sitcom, we've put duct tape along the center of the island.
We refuse to swim around because one of us told a lie about a shark and we both believe it now. We get desert island fit. We are rescued after a month.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson,
a month!
Yeah. Okay, 2 weeks. No, 3 weeks. Three weeks. I'll
three
give
weeks.
Us
yeah. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just wait.
It's fine. Anyway, then we get rescued, come back so fit and toned.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow none of the bugs have eaten us. We've managed to be able to fish from day one.
Uh-huh,
All the coconut trees had enough fruit and kept fruiting daily. And we come home fit.
God,
and then we make millions off of the desert method.
It would be telling it it's like a fitness method.
Oh, yeah. That's great. How we become rich.
Mm-hmm. Step one, strand yourself.
If I may.
You please. May not.
Okay, Google. Set a reminder for 3 weeks from now to ask Cass and Jackson on Twitter if they're fit now.
We didn't get
Hey, Siri. Set a reminder for 3 weeks from now to ask Cass and Jackson on Twitter if they're island healthy.
You gotta put us on the island first.
We're not going on the island.
Yeah.
Go on.
You can't just get lost.
You said you just wait. I'm waiting.
We'd have to be on an island with no one to talk to but each other, but not communicate that well to.
I'm waiting. Yeah. Best case scenario, I get 3 weeks of peace.
Maybe more if we die.
Yeah.
Best case. Oh, yeah. I guess that's best case scenario. An eternity of peace. Maybe I can trap myself on a desert island.
Yeah, well, if when you come back fit and healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, from all the bug bites you didn't get and all the complete food groups that you ate every day constantly.
Apparently you can survive on just coconuts, I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I also feel like you can't survive well. You know what I mean?
I remember doing, I mentioned it before, my mom's got a few like chronic illnesses and she had to go on this special diet, so I went with her. And we ate a lot of coconut because there were so many things she couldn't eat that coconut had a substitute for.
Yeah.
And we were like, I can't eat coconut now because I'm like, God, it was too bad. It was only like 3 days of eating
still
a lot of coconut, but still like still having full day's worth of meals.
Yeah. But only coconut.
Not only coconut, just coconut and most of them. And then after 3 days, I'm like, I've ruined for coconut forever. Looked in the diet book and it was like, make sure you don't have more than half a cup of coconut stuff a day because that's not good for you.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, whoops.
Apparently, you can live on coconuts indefinitely.
Ugh.
But you will need to use the saplings and the flesh inside young coconut trees.
Okay. So you've got to use all the coconut, basically.
All the coconut tree.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. islands. That's fair. What do you think you'd struggle with most on the desert island? Like, what bit is going to give you the most growth?
Bugs.
Yeah, bugs are going to suck.
Bugs.
Will there be money bugs on
so many.
Island?
Money wow. bugs.
Because there is a complete ecosystem.
Mm, that's a good point. Yeah, there'll probably be bugs on a desert island.
What bugs are going to feed on a person on a desert island?
The ones that digest all the dead animals?
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably going to be
bugs. We're thinking of different sizes of desert island here.
How big's your desert island?
You know, in a cartoon or a comic.
Okay.
Enough to sustain.
So a single lump with a one palm tree.
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, in that situation, the thing I'm going to struggle with is everything.
Oh, no. There's always that one starfish.
Oh, that's true.
Making friends with that one starfish.
Is that what you're going to struggle with?
Yeah, I'm no good at small talk.
Well, I guess what's good about a
starfish are all small talk.
What's good about a starfish is that they regrow limbs. So that's my food sorted. Just snap off.
Do you think they're going to grow back fast enough?
I hope it'll take a week.
All right. You got a starfish.
Yeah.
Yay big. Oh, let's say the size of a, like a teacup.
Sure. Yep.
Teacup size starfish.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You tear off one of its five legs. Yeah. One of its five legs.
Yeah.
And you eat that. That is maybe a biscuit.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what's your
plan? I wiped.
You've had a, How long?
However long it takes till the starfish grows a leg back. No.
Do you think it'll grow back
it's easy. It's easy. Okay. One starfish leg every 3 days. Okay.
It doesn't.
Huh? Please, Cass.
I'm so sorry.
One starfish leg every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't wait for that leg to grow back. I eat the next leg. And then by the time I've eaten all the other legs, that first leg has grown back to full capacity.
All right. I'm going to be very. Very, very generous here. And
Thank
I'm
going to
say, actually, instead of a biscuit, yeah. one of those little starfish legs is an apple.
Oh, great.
All right, so you get an apple once every 3 days.
It'll keep me alive.
Do you see an issue with this?
I won't be comfortable, but
Do
I'll live.
Do you think you could survive on an apple once every 3 days?
If that's all I had, I'd deal.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd be fine.
All right.
Cass, sounded like you were something to refute my plan.
It sounds flawless.
I think the starfish will try and leave.
I keep it on the... Oh, no, yeah, true. How do you build a barrier underwater? I'll tie a string around the starfish and then tie it to my toe. There we go. It's not getting anywhere. Boom, bam, pow, live forever. And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Cass.
I've been Adam, and this has been the last time you will hear from Cass and Jackson.
Goodbye
Before
forever.
We're fit.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.